Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we will be talking about giving you kind of a halfway through the NBA season recap and what to look out for in the second half of the season. I kind of had to beg Tyler to do this because Tyler's not the biggest NBA fan, but I am a huge NBA fan. So
it's not like I hate the NBA.
No,
I just don't keep up with it that much.
Oh, I agree.
Not until like the heat of the right before playoffs.
Yeah, right before playoffs start in April, so right around April.
Yeah,
I get you. Okay, makes sense. I am the opposite. But before we get into anything sports related, I tweeted, and yes, it was me. I tweeted from our Sideline Judgment Twitter account last week, 5 days ago on Valentine's Day, about the devastation that happened in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School down in Parkland, Florida, which is in Broward County, which, as everyone knows, I love me some Broward. Broward is home. Broward is a place where I moved to when I was 7 or 8, and I will always, always, always have a place in my heart for Broward. So, naturally, given that this wasn't one of the suburbs that I grew up in, or actually one of the suburbs that I've been to many times, it affected me. It affected me very hard, and I got the same feeling that I got a few years ago, my junior year of high school, when Sandy Hook happened. I think Tyler and I both, what we're trying to say here is that sometimes sports have to take a back seat to the greater things in life. And we are very blessed to be able to have our platform to be able to express our opinions in a certain way. I think both of us, Tyler and I, first of all, want to say that we do not understand, nor do we want to understand, what those families and the students at Douglas are going through. But what I do ask is that you do keep in your thoughts and prayers all of the families affected, Broward County as a whole, and especially the Stoneman Douglas community in Parkland. Parkland, Florida is a, for those not aware, is a neighborhood that is quite affluent. It's a neighborhood that is always very safe. It is full of residential areas, and is actually known for its very good public schools in South Florida. There are a lot of places in South Florida where the schools may not be the best, but that Coral Springs, Parkland area is very nice. You have Terra Valley, you have Douglas. The elementary schools and middle schools are also very nice. So for something like this to happen in that area, not only the gravity and the shock of the actual event that happened, but also where it was located in such a heavily respected area, in such an area where people really don't ever think that it would happen there. Tyler and I are not in the camp of people that's saying that we need to hold off and talk about ways to prevent this from further happening. So before we go ahead and talk, I just wanted to bring to your attention what we call the March for Our Lives organization, which is an organization that was come across through, that was created in the wake of what happened on February 14th by students and families affected by Stoneman Douglas. And they will be having a march on March 24th in Washington, D.C., to demand that children's lives and safeties become a priority. Tyler and I fully support this.
Yes, we do.
We invite you to visit the website at www.marchforourlives.com. And if you cannot attend, like I know Tyler and I cannot attend, we urge you to donate to their cause. We urge you to buy the merchandise that they are selling in order to make things more aware. And we urge you to reach out to your politicians. We're talking about gun control and gun restrictions. And Tyler and I personally are not anti-Second Amendment, but I think we can both say that we are completely against someone who is not mentally, not sane, someone who is going through mental health issues, which I've gone and am going through personally through mental health issues. someone in that sense should not be able to go out and purchase a war weapon so easily. Mm-hmm. Nor do I mean, personally, I don't think guns should be out there, period, but I do respect the right for people to carry. I personally will not carry guns in my lifetime, but that's a personal choice. I just want it to be more difficult and to make it safer for the general public, to make it, making it safe for the general public by making it more difficult to get a gun. If you want to hunt, if you want self-protection, I completely understand that. My father's a police officer. My father owns multiple guns. I respect that his decision. It's not something I would make personally, but I respect your right. No one's trying to take all your guns away. We're just saying that we want to do everything that we can to prevent something like this to happen again. And with that being said, I will step off of my soapbox. Once again, it's www.marchforourlives.com. Thank you, Tyler, for giving me these 5-6 minutes just to vent and let it out.
And and I agree with pretty much every single thing you said. That's our platform. That is our mission as well. Mm-hmm. This is what we support. This is not just Sergio. I fully support everything that he said, and we just want to make sure that we want to do what we can to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.
And this has happened a lot of times, and I thought that elementary school kids in Newtown, Connecticut would help, would be the wake-up call. But I'm hoping that something that hit so close to home for me is the wake-up call for the rest of the country. Before we move on, I want to say big ups, big shout-out to the students of Douglas who are going out and are organizing this stuff and are writing our legislators and are writing our senators and are writing our representatives and are going on television and are making our voice heard. It's a little bit embarrassing when people that aren't even old enough to vote are more responsible than some of our elected officials. And I think that is a strong statement. And I'm very excited for what our generation, because they are included in our generation, what our generation can do and hopefully we'll be able to do in the future. With that being said, we're going to move on to some happier things. Tyler, this past weekend was the 2018 NBA All-Star Weekend. All-Star Weekend marks the halfway point in the NBA season and is a much-needed break for the players, and B, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of a sport that I love. It's very dear to my heart, basketball. Today we're going to be doing kind of a breakdown of what we've seen, trends going on throughout this season, what to expect for the season to come, both in the Eastern and in the Western Conference. And Tyler, do you want to start? We split it. We split this up, guys.
Yes. Sergio took the Eastern Conference. I took the West.
Okay.
Real quick, before I will start. Uh-huh. Real quick, go ahead. I'm going to hijack the podcast.
Screw.
Shout out to my friend. He went to the Daytona 500 this weekend. That was also this weekend, which is the NBA All-Star weekend. I personally don't have any interest in NASCAR or anything like that. But, you know, that was a sporting event thing that happened. Austin Dillon won. Sergio's giving me a look right now.
We're a sports podcast. Okay. All right? Why are we talking about cars?
I don't know.
We're a sports podcast, Tyler.
Okay, all right.
Tyler, this podcast will cease to exist if we ever bring up NASCAR.
All right. That was the one time. Don't look at me like I like NASCAR. I do not. But
next day. Hey, next week we'll cover competitive cheerleading. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Right, you know listen, whatever, nothing against whatever. People who like NASCAR and competitive cheerleading. I kind of took a shot when I didn't mean to. But we cover.
No, that is the extent of the mentor.
Right. I have a question. Was it Jimmy Johnson?
No.
Was it Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
No.
Was it, what's the other one, 24? Who dressed 30? See, you don't even know.
Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon. Was it Jeff Gordon?
No.
Then I don't know about it.
I don't think any of those three people were racing.
Oh, really?
Oops. See, I don't know. I didn't know any of the people racing.
I don't know, man. Oh, my.
All right. Well, that is.
There's that.
All right.
Let's move on to the back to the sports.
Okay.
Back to the sports.
Do you want to give a brief moment about like the actual All-Star game?
Oh yeah, okay. So the All-Star game this past week was, I don't want to say bananas, but it was bananas. All-Star weekend
is the point of that. What was the point of that phrase?
I don't know. Listen, I'm talking and stalling and trying to come up with different things so I can pull up the scores for the All-Star game.
Okay, fine.
So
I shouldn't throw you under the bus
this
like
year.
That.
Traditionally, the All-Star game. Well, let's start off. All-Star weekend, you have Friday. You have the Rising Stars Challenge and the Celebrity All-Star Game, which I will be in the Celebrity All-Star Game one day. Book it. Mark it. Bookmark it. Saturday is NBA All-Star Saturday, which is Skills Challenge, three-point shootout, and the dunk contest. Shout out to Wayne Ellington, shooting guard for the Miami Heat, who is in the three-point shootout contest. Way to represent. And then Sunday is All-Star Game. Shout out to Goran Dragic, point guard for the Miami Heat, for being a first-time All-Star. So
that was the
traditionally, right, that's what the weekend consists of. It moves around the country every mm-hmm. year. Last year was in Toronto. This year it was in Los Angeles. Saturday was cool. You had Devin Booker of the Phoenix Sun win the three-point shootout, and then you had
Donovan Mitchell,
a.k.a. future Rookie of the Year. This is his first year. He is hands down the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. And then Sunday, you had the All-Star Game. Now, traditionally, the All-Star Game is the best players from the West and the best players from the East mm-hmm. put together. This year, because in years prior, it's kind of seen that people don't really take it seriously, this year, we ended up having a brand new way of formatting things. So the fans voted for their 10 All-Star starters, 5 from the West, 5 from the East. And the two players that received the most votes became team captains. And then they ended up basically picking their teams from the pool of All-Stars, mm-hmm. Playground style, which was great. Now, my one complaint, it wasn't televised and they never released the order of how they were picked. I think that's a change that's coming next year. I got an alert saying Adam Silver was considering.
Adam Silver is really cool. He considers most things.
Yeah, exactly. So this Sunday...
They probably just didn't think to televise those things.
They probably didn't, but like I would have loved for that.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
Okay,
like,
why not?
Well, like, no, I wouldn't have thought about it. I would have been like, if this is a cool thing, but if this is a thing that's never been done before, it just wouldn't have crossed my mind.
I get it.
In hindsight, like, I'm sure they wish they would have, mm-hmm. but like, when it happens, and then what that day that it's happened, people are like, why don't we know about this? Then it just, and it kind of sucks, but fix that.
They'll probably fix it for next year. So you had Team LeBron versus Team Steph. So on Team LeBron, you had Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans, LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors, Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics, LaMarcus Aldridge of the San Antonio Spurs, Paul George of the Thunder, Andre Drummond of the Pistons, Kemba Walker of the Bobcats? They're the Hornets now. Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets, Goran Dragic of the Heat, Victor Oladipo of the Pacers, and Bradley Beal, Florida Gator. Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards.
Well, John Wall was also on the team.
And John Wall, right. John Wall of the Washington Wizards, Kristaps Porzingis, the Unicorn of the New York Knicks, and who was the other one that got hurt? Oh, and Boogie Cousins of the New Orleans Pelicans. All three of those got hurt after they were chosen, and so Andre Drummond, Goran Dragic, and who else stepped in?
I don't know.
And Kemba Walker were all replacements for that. So Team LeBron, 148. Team Steph, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the Greek freak.
The Greek freak.
Yeah. Joel Embiid of the Sixers, Steph, Warriors, Harden, Rockets, DeRozan, Raptors, Horford, Celtics, Draymond Gator. Green. Oh, yeah, Al Horford Gator. I apologize. Draymond Green. Warriors, Karl Anthony Towns of the
Timberwolves,
Kyle Lowry, Raptors, Damian Lillard, Trailblazers, Clay, Warriors, and then Jimmy Butler of the Timberwolves. So those are the teams. These are the best players in the league. And I love this new format that they went to because it made it more competitive. You saw that the team started mm-hmm. off kind of competitive. They kind of coasted throughout the rest of the game. And with about 8 minutes left in the game, it got real competitive. When they asked LeBron afterwards, LeBron actually gave the point that said, actually, my name is on this. Like, this is my team. I have to be able to go out and not just show face and say, oh, we're having a good time or whatever. No, no, no. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to win. And at the end of the game, there was significant drama with the possession of a ball, and there were players taking it seriously. It felt like a regular season game. That's what LeBron said in his All-Star acceptance speech. Regular season game. LeBron James named the All-Star, 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. Almost had a triple-double in the All-Star game. That's crazy. That's some Russell Westbrook stuff. All-Star game, that's last week. But let's move on to the regular season. Let's pick up the teams, look at the teams okay. that we have.
All right.
Kind of maybe give us one thing to know about from the season and then what to expect.
Should we go first?
Yeah, you go first. You go from the West.
I'm going to keep this simple for most of it because, as I've stated before, I don't know the most about
That's fine.
About the NBA. I know a good amount. Like, right. I'm not clueless.
I'll intercede when...
I don't know. Okay.
When necessary.
Phoenix Suns, bad. Dallas Mavericks, bad.
We're working from the bottom up, guys.
Yeah. Sacramento Kings, bad. I think they'll probably be good eventually.
If that's if their management gets right.
But yeah,
that's
like they got a lot of young players that I like, but they're bad.
Yeah,
Grizzlies bad. Lakers improving, but
improving
definitely, steadily. but bad. But they're improving.
Right,
I think they'll be fine. Jazz, the Utah Jazz,
hot,
very hot, 11 super game hot. Win streak.
Yes,
an 11 game win.
They're 30-28.
So. We've kind of entered into the realm of teams to watch out for the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Clippers at 30-26. Mm-hmm. Surprising to me that they're, you know,
they're
not a total
around.
Dumpster fire considering they traded so many players away.
Yeah.
They traded Blake Griffin to the Pistons, Chris Paul to the Rockets before the season.
Mm-hmm.
So Clippers are a surprise here. They played less games than a bunch of other people.
Right.
And also I do think the Lakers have a chance to they're 23-34. They have a chance to break in the playoffs, but they would need a lot of things to go right for them.
Yeah, a lot of things to go right, and
I think they'll get close, but they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna.
They're 7.5. They're 6.5 games behind the Jazz.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough.
Yeah. Moving up, we're getting into the playoff teams in the Western Conference. I'll probably add a little bit more detail here.
Right.
The Pelicans. I know that there's a lot of Kentucky players on the Pelicans.
yes, there Andy are.
Davis. Boogie Cousins, even though he's hurt.
Boogie Cousins ruptured his Achilles earlier this season, and he's out for the year.
They are 31-26.
Yeah.
They are the 8th seed. Moving on.
There's not much to say there. The thing with the Pelicans to me is that the Pelicans were really starting to get that whole Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis thing to work. And since...
life, man.
Yeah, since he's ruptured Achilles. I really thought they could sneak into like a 6 or a 5 seed, but alas...
Well, they're at the 8, so like...
Right, exactly.
They're still in play.
Mm-hmm.
One game ahead of them is the Trailblazers in the 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
Trailblazers, as long as I've known about them, to me, have always been that team that's just kind of around.
Yeah,
they always make the playoffs, and they don't ever do anything
in They live in that 7-4 range.
Yeah.
That's really what they do. And it's honestly, it's pretty much due to the fact that Damian Lillard doesn't have much help around him. Yes, he has CJ McCollum, but it's kind of seeing that like CJ is kind of turning into his own kind of like what happened with Kyrie, where I'll talk about that in my section with the East, where he kind of wants his own team. It looks like Dame has been reported to go to the owner in the past few weeks, demanding like to make some moves and stuff because he's a very loyal guy and he'll stay in Portland, but unless they make moves around him, he may be a person that next year or the year after you see on a different team.
Yeah, he don't want to waste his career.
He does not want to waste his career. He's 26 now. He's entering his prime. He doesn't want to waste it around.
All right, full disclosure, moving up to the 6th seed. I know zero things about the Denver Nuggets.
What?
I know zero things.
What? Sorry, I don't know much.
Like, I know I was doing homework before we did this. And
they're quiet.
I don't know a thing about them.
They're quiet. I mean, well, Jokic, I do know about Jokic. Jokic, he had a triple-double in the first half last week. Crazy. It was incredible. Nikola Jokic. He's a center. He's 23 years old. Well, okay. Now that I'm looking at the roster, it makes more sense. They are building around younger players. They have a younger core.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of names is the thing.
Right.
The NBA is such a star-driven league that a lot of your notoriety comes from your players, not your coach or anything like that.
Their notable player is Richard Jefferson, who's 37 years old and doesn't get minutes off the bench. He's more of a leadership role there.
Mm-hmm.
What I am noticing here is that on their salary, they only have like one superstar in terms of money being paid, and that's Paul Millsap. But he's 33 years old, and he's making $31 million. I think next up is going to be Jokic, who's still on a rookie deal. If Jokic can get ready, Gary Harris has been balling really well lately. Will Barton has been playing great. Paul Millsap rotating there. Jamal Murray. It's looking nice. They're coming up. They're doing well. But also the salary cap went up a couple years ago, and so they're paying a lot of players that really don't deserve big money. Big money, for example, Mason Plumlee is making $14 million when he really should be a $4 to $5 million player. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that. Watch out for the Nuggets. The more that they develop, the more that they play, the more you'll see it.
They're at the 6th seed right now.
Which Nuggets are a team that you don't want to play in the first round.
No, yeah.
You don't want to play in the first. And right now they're matched up with the San Antonio Spurs, and that would be a nice series. Wow,
spoilers.
Sorry.
Steal my thunder.
Go ahead, continue.
Speaking of thunder. moving on to the 5 seed, my favorite team. If I were to follow a team, it probably it would be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Now, is it the Billy D situation?
That's a huge part of it, I'm not going to lie. Billy Donovan, Gator great coach, 2-time national champion with the Gators as a coach, is the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
That's a large part of it, but I've been watching them for a while. I love Russell Westbrook. I love watching him play.
Mm-hmm.
In the offseason, they acquired Paul George and Carmelo Anthony.
Yes.
But it took them a very long time to kind of figure that dynamic out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
They're not quite there yet. I mean, when Russell Westbrook takes over a game, it's not much you can do, but that being said, like, it's exactly what it was last year, where they're a really good team, but it's just their style of play probably not sustainable for the long haul, deep in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They could beat somebody in the first round, which they're matched up with the team above them, but they're 33-26, close to the teams above them, only a game ahead of the Nuggets and Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm. The West is so stacked.
It's a very competitive league.
Yes, very competitive.
Other than the two at the top, which we'll get to. But yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder, very fun to watch, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just love their roster, love their coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to have a team, it would be that. But I don't live in Oklahoma, so it's not very hard to follow a team when you...
I understand that.
Yeah.
And I respect that. And my only couple notes I want to say here is, the big question this season is, does Paul George resign next year?
Yes.
Does Paul George, he will be an unrestricted free agent this coming year. I think Steven Adams is coming up on a contract, and I also think Andre Roberson is coming up on a contract. And the whole question is, Carmelo's going to want to get paid again. Russ is already locked in. Russ is locked in for I think, 5 years. He re-signed his contract last year.
Yeah, Russ is not going anywhere.
So the question is, if you want to keep Paul George, you got to give him the max, because right now he's making $19 million. The max would be somewhere around $27 to $29 million. There's no way that you would... There's just not enough money to go around. It's a matter of how you build the team, how you do it. Also, they're not very deep, although they are getting some good minutes by P.J. Dozier out of South Carolina.
I really liked him coming out of South Carolina.
Yes.
He was a pain in the lower regions.
Yes, for us, he was not the best.
But he's very good.
Yes, he is a very good player. And like I said, I think Roberson's contract is up, and he's making $9.2 million. So.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions with the Thunder. For this season, I do like how they're playing. I like how it's going. You want to
it took a while. I mean, really all I'd say is, like, it took a while to gel with them. It seems like it has started to gel.
Okay.
Yes,
it has. It started rocky.
It's definitely started to gel. They started off really rough.
Yeah.
But it's gotten a lot better. I think they'll improve.
Mm-hmm.
Might even sneak up a little bit higher in this. They're such a hard team to project, because I could see them getting as high as the 3 seed.
Okay.
But I could also see them... dropping to the 8.
Yeah.
They're a wild team like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make the playoffs. I agree, I do think they're clearly one of the 8 best teams in this conference.
I agree.
But currently at the 5. Team ahead of them, which they would play if the playoffs started today, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Timberwolves have had issues with defense this year. They have really struggled with defense. But they got Jimmy Butler in the offseason, which was a big pickup, and they've improved. They've done really well so far. I really like the players on their roster. I think I like Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's upside with this team. I think they'll make the playoffs. I just don't know where. You know?
Okay.
What is your take on this?
My take is that they will make the playoffs. It will be more in the 5-7 range, because I think they'll slip, because their head coach is Tom Thibodeau. And Tom Thibodeau does not understand the concept of minutes rotation. Tom Thibodeau is working his players into the ground.
Yes.
It's insane. I do know that. Yeah. They average the most minutes per game by any team in the league by far. But I think it's like five more minutes per game. It's crazy. They do have a great squad. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, Jeff Teague, Taj Gibson, Jamal Crawford, Jimmy Butler.
It's a talented team.
It's a stacked team. I mean, Jamal Crawford is still getting great minutes at 37 years old and is producing as well. I think they can go up against anybody. I think Jimmy Butler has the clutch gene in him. I think when his contract is up, he should go somewhere and try to get the max, or close to the max. He's making $19 million right now, which is good for him. But that's my take, that this team will only go as far as Tom Thibodeau allows them to. And he's got to start resting players.
You don't have the faith that
Jimmy Butler was named to an All-Star, but he didn't play a minute because they asked him, Jimmy Butler, you play what? He goes, No, man, I'm just real tired. I need rest. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to start resting some players. They got to start using their minutes.
It's like there's the video of Karl Anthony Towns where he's getting the halftime interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he look in the middle of the interview, he looks up at the scoreboard and he says, well, golly, we're up by 21. I didn't know that. It's like,
why are your starters in when you're up 21?
And he looks exhausted.
At halftime.
And he's like, I guess I don't need to play as hard. And I'm like, wow, you look really tired.
Yeah. No.
So that's my point. Good point.
The Wolves will only go as far as Thibodeau takes them. Let's them go.
Moving on to the good old San Antonio Spurs in the 3 seed.
I don't know about good old. It cost me a title. But.
It's okay. coached by the infamous Greg Popovich.
The great.
I'll admit greatest.
The outstanding.
Outstanding. Fantastic. Best head coach in the game.
All right.
I was waiting for somebody to...
Was that it? Is that all your... No.
I was waiting for you to, like, disagree or finally be like, oh, well, what about this?
No, Greg Popovich.
He is the best.
Greg Popovich. Yep, I agree.
Second best, I think, is in your conference, but...
We'll talk about that. Go ahead.
Always good team. They've got I personally think they have the best culture, basketball culture in the NBA.
Right.
That despite losing a bunch of stars, they're still... Rocket. Manu Ginobili is 40 years old.
I was wondering if you noticed that.
He's 40 years old.
I know.
Most of this roster is above 25. Yeah. They don't have a lot of young players, and they're despite that, they're killing it. They are 35-24. They have not played as many games as some of the other teams. They are on their three-game losing streak, which is suboptimal. But if there's anyone I trust to get a top 3-4 seed, even with an underutilized roster that doesn't have Kawhi Leonard on it.
Can I talk about that?
Yeah. Well, like, let me finish my...
Yeah, finish your point.
If there was anybody I trust, it's Greg Popovich. This is the only team in the NBA that I always feel like is more about the coach than it is about the players.
Yes.
They run counterculture to everything else in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun to watch, personally.
Yeah, they're a cool squad. Three or four years ago, when Duncan was still playing, it was all about like ball movement and getting players to share the rock, which is a good mentality. Now I think it's more about just lockdown defense and facilitating the basketball more.
Go ahead, you can do your thing.
Kawhi Leonard, the best two-way player in the league. And when I say two-way player, I mean he's equally as good on offense as he is on defense. Kawhi Leonard has played five to ten games this entire season. He was injured, and so he's working his way back from injury. The question here is, there's rumors that Kawhi wants out of San Antonio. So the question here, the thing to look out with them for the rest of the season is, do they hold Kawhi out just to the playoffs? And after that, do they trade Kawhi? Because he's going to be a free agent, not this summer, but the summer after that.
So you got to wonder if they want to get something out of it.
Get some assets out of it, exactly. And you got to wonder who's going to make that trade.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to act like I know what he's going through, because I know he's been injured for most of this.
Right.
Don't know why you'd want to leave the Spurs, personally.
Well, he did grow up in South Central L.A.
Okay, then
there's... Lakers are clearing up cap space, so
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, you never know.
That would be a good pickup for the Lakers.
You never ever know. So that's the cool thing about the Spurs.
I mean, another thing why I think the Lakers are on a very good upward trajectory, but they're not there yet. And Spurs are good though. They're good. Leads me to my next two teams. The number two seed, half game behind the number one seed, the Golden State Warriors.
Shocking, right?
Wow, they're not in first place.
Shocking.
Because and I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. The number one seed is the Houston Rockets,
right,
who have played the best basketball in the Western Conference.
Easily.
Probably in the league.
They're the best team in the league, in my opinion.
Currently, yes. They're playing. They're on 10-game win streak.
The Rockets and the Warriors are 1A, 1B.
Yeah. So the thing with the Warriors is they're only a half game behind. They played one more game as well.
And honestly, I think the Warriors are just checked out.
This is the classic matter of New England Patriots don't have the best record in the NFL, but who are you going to take to beat? Like who are you going to take to win
right.
in the playoffs?
Who do you want?
This is a classic situation where I'm like, Golden State's a little they're checked out of it. They have, the second best, record in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting
fact about the Warriors, though. They have lost, I believe, the last four matchups between the Rockets and the Thunder.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's an
the Rockets are 2-1. Against them this season, and the Thunder are 2-0.
Yeah, they're 2-0.
2-0 against them. Yeah. I was going back to all the games.
Yeah. So they're 4-1 again. They're 1-4. Warriors are 1-4 against those two teams, which is one of those situations where Warriors are so far they're playing at the level of they're just beating up on all the bad teams, and they're going 500 with the good teams.
Right.
And that's fine. Because I trust the Golden State Warriors to turn it on in the playoffs, because that's what they did last year. The Houston Rockets are playing phenomenal basketball.
Yeah.
Chris Paul got added in the offseason. Amazing, great pickup.
Can I give you a cool stat?
Yeah.
When James Harden and Chris Paul play together, they're 27-1.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
27-1. They should play together for more games.
Well, it's a matter of Chris Paul's health and Chris Paul's needs. So
I would argue you just don't even play him until the playoffs at this point.
No, I wouldn't say that.
That's a joke. I'm not serious.
This is the West.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
So much could happen in that time.
Exactly.
But in the last little bit, we always talk about this in the end of the season. Oh, you're resting your players. Well, when a player has a health concern.
Yeah, exactly.
And you basically kind of locked up your seed.
You might as well take a seat.
Basically. Rockets are playing the best basketball. I still think the Warriors are the best team. Mm-hmm. They've been the best team for a while. They didn't go through much roster turnover in the offseason, so I trust them. I trust them to turn it on later. But the Rockets are playing inspired basketball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, James Harden is putting together an MVP candidate.
James Harden is the runaway MVP this year. And it sucks that he didn't win MVP last year. Was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last year, because Russell Westbrook decided to average a triple double, but
you can't average a triple double and then not give that man the MVP.
I get it. I'm just saying. I think James Harden was more influential to the Rockets than Russell Westbrook was to the Thunder, because the Thunder couldn't win. They still couldn't win last year.
Yeah, but I would argue that a lot of those games that they did win was only because of him.
Yeah, I agree, but he can't do it every single night.
Yeah, but and then
which again, is why they went out and got him some help this year.
Yeah,
so let's see how that.
They're doing better.
They are. Do you want to transition to the East? Pass me the reins?
I don't have any more teams to talk about.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It is your floor.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and go bottom to top, just like Tyler did. I may run through this a lot quicker because the East is worse than the West, hands down. Yeah. We're going to start from the bottom. The Atlanta Hawks.
You gave me the West.
Yeah. The Atlanta Hawks, trash. The Orlando Magic, trash. The Brooklyn Nets, trash. The Chicago Bulls, trash. But have some good young players. Zach LaVine's getting healthy. He tore his ACL last year. He was traded. He was in that Jimmy Butler trade with Minnesota. Looking nice. The New York Knicks. A moment of silence for Porzingis. All hail the unicorn. Poor guy, man. Seriously. Yeah. The Knicks are making some good moves. They got that.
He was playing so well, too.
Yes, man. He was playing first 15 games of the season, it was a true MVP caliber. True MVP caliber, I think. So poor Knicks. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of time before they start tanking. All right, let's get into serious playoff contenders here. We got the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets are a team that They're like the North Carolina State Wolfpack in college football. They can beat anyone any given day, but they cannot do it consistently.
Yeah.
You know? Kemba Walker can only do so much for you. I look at this team, and I just don't really see many players that I'm, like, too fond of. You know? Like, you got Dwight Howard, a 32-year-old Dwight Howard. They drafted Malik Monk in the first round, and honestly, he's not producing as much as we thought he would. They got Michael Carter-Williams,
still young. I'm going to just go ahead and say that I always thought De'Aaron Fox was better.
Okay.
At Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, like, be that guy.
No, I know. Well, but we saw them play. Well,
yeah, no, I saw them play. Yeah. Even De'Aaron Fox was sick, and he played, and he was still great.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why De'Aaron Fox is doing really well out in Sacramento. Yeah.
He's one of those bright spots. Malik Monk, I think, can be a good player. I just don't think he's there yet for an NBA level.
I agree. I just don't see this roster really doing much.
I totally forgot that Dwight Howard was on.
Yes, Dwight Howard's on the team, yes. Dwayne Bacon's playing. Nick Batum is on this roster. Like, there's a lot of players on this roster that, like, are good, but, like, if we're being realistic, I don't know. Kemba's contract is coming up soon, so hopefully he gets paid. He's only making $12 million right now compared to Nick Batum's 22.5. Like, no. Pay my man Kemba. The Detroit Pistons. The Pistons made some moves this past month. Mm-hmm. They traded for Blake Griffin. And they've gone 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're doing really well, man.
Yeah. The Blake Griffin trade has really worked out.
Yes, the Blake Griffin trade is working out excellent. You go ahead and you pair up Blake Griffin with Andre Drummond. Man, this team is looking nice. This team is looking nice in that sense. You got Reggie Jackson playing the point guard. Jameer Nelson is still playing at 36 years old. Other than that, you got pretty much just rotation guys. But if everyone knows their squad, everyone knows the way that they're supposed to go, then they're good. The crazy thing about the Pistons is why I didn't like the trade so much is because Blake Griffin is on a multi-million, a huge contract going into – it's a five-year contract. This is the first year of it. He's making $29 million this year, and it's got a 15% increase per year. His fifth year, if it's a player option, is he's scheduled to make something like $36 million, $37 million.
Ugh.
That's a lot of cap room on one guy. And one guy whose knees have proved they're not really there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I didn't know that Blake Griffin went to Oklahoma.
Yes, he did. He won National Player of the Year the same year that Sam Bradford won the Heisman. That's why this year people are saying that if Trae Young wins National Player of the Year, it'll be the second time in history that the same school takes home the Heisman and the Naismith. And the only other school to do that was Oklahoma in the year Bradford and
Blake. You know what hasn't happened for the second time?
What?
The only school to take home a basketball and football national championship.
I mean, you know, every team... You know
that was the Florida Gators.
I mean, like, every team wants to do great and wants to be greatness, but, like, if we're being realistic, nah, man, not everybody can be great. You know, we are great. That's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I'm getting arrogant now.
Speaking of arrogance,
next I pull up the depth chart for the Heat, guys. That's how into this I am. Next we got the Miami Heat sitting at the eighth seed. The Heat were playing really good basketball, and we've gone 3-7 in the past 10 games. But we've been losing so many close games. Our roster's looking nice. Deion Waiters is out for the year. Deion Waiters.
I didn't know that.
That's why we went out and signed and traded for Wade. Because we need to make up on that sense. We got the trade exception.
He was so good last year.
Yeah, we got the trade exception for him. So which is what allowed us to go get Wade. So you got Justice Winslow. Basically, the stars of this team are Hassan Whiteside and Goran Dragic. Dragic was named an All-Star. Whiteside is a good player. Josh Richardson out of Tennessee is coming into his own. He's in his third year, same as Justice Winslow. But coming off the bench, we got great players. We got Bam Adebayo out of Kentucky. He's a rookie. James Johnson comes off the bench. Luke Babbitt, Wayne Ellington was in the three-point contest. Tyler Johnson's playing good ball. I'm really excited for my Heat team. Now, one thing that I think sets apart the Heat from everyone else, Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra's a top five coach in the league. Mm-hmm. I got Pop as my first. I got Brad Stevens for the Celtics as my second.
That was my
and
second.
Then I got you can't disrespect Brad Stevens. And then I got Spoelstra, because the thing with Spoelstra is, everyone thought, oh, of course, yeah, if I can win with three All-Stars and the greatest player on earth, of course I can win with Wade, LeBron, and Bosh. But the crazy thing is that he led this team to victory last year. We missed the playoffs by half a game. We had the best record in the NBA after the All-Star break.
Yep.
We ended 41-41 simply because we went off on the second half of the season. Like, don't underestimate Spoelstra. And I think I wouldn't be – don't be surprised if the Heat are a – don't be surprised if the Heat take the four spot in the playoffs. Come play. I'm not predicting it, but I'm saying
– I can see it.
Don't be surprised if that happens.
He's a really good coach.
Yeah, I don't be surprised. And I haven't even mentioned that Dwayne Wade is back. Like, Wade coming off the bench as a sixth man, putting up a clean 15-18 a night, putting up 24-30 minutes a night. Come on, man. Sorry, I just hit the table by accident. Sorry. That's hey, this is some moves.
Sergio's very happy.
So excited. No. And no matter what happens this season with the Heat, if we make the playoffs, it's a win, and I'm just excited to see the Heat in another playoff series. We haven't made the playoffs since since the year that Wade left, where we lost two years ago, where we lost to the Raptors in seven games. So we can do it, man. We can do it. Moving on to the seven seed, we got the Philadelphia 76ers. We got the process, man. The process is in a playoff spot. Shout out to the process.
Amazing. Just amazing.
This team is led by Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, the next Magic Johnson. Ben Simmons is a baller. You got Dario Saric.
You were like, you
I'm
just
serious,
went there.
Man. I went there and I'm serious about it. Dario Saric is playing some good minutes. JJ Redick is that veteran experience that they need on that team. Listen, I'm here for the Sixers. If you need a good Twitter account to follow, Joel Embiid's Twitter account and his Instagram. He's troll number one
in the league. And the 76ers are doing all of this without Markelle Fultz, number one pick in the draft.
Markelle Fultz might not even play again this season, but I kind of forgot
how to shoot. But,
but I'm with you on that. Yeah.
No, it's just amazing that he hasn't even played and mm-hmm. they're still this good.
Right.
Like, they weren't supposed to be this good unless they had him.
Right.
To improve, and they've improved without him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool to me.
Yeah, it's good for them. Moving on from the Sixers, we got the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, now they made some moves this season as well. They're coming in at the sixth seed. They're 32-25. They are obviously led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. There we go. The Greek freak.
Amazing.
23 years old, from Greece, playing great basketball. They got Jabari Parker back from injury. Tony Snell is doing some good minutes. Chris Middleton gets some good minutes. Who else is on here? Oh, they traded for Eric Bledsoe this season. Malcolm Brogdon is playing well. It's nice. It's a nice Thon Maker's playing center. It's a nice young team, with the exception of Jason Terry, who's 40 years old. It's a nice team that I think plays well. They just fired, like 10 games ago, they fired Jason Kidd, their head coach, and they've had a significant improvement. In their last 10 games, they're 7-3. Yeah.
That's good.
That's a great improvement. People are saying that Kidd was holding them back, and I guess they're right, man. Can't argue with that. In the 5 seed, we got the Indiana Pacers. Now, the Pacers are interesting because they are led by first-time All-Star Victor Oladipo, who was traded from the Thunder to the Pacers in exchange for Paul George. Now, this is a team that is doing really well without Paul George. Before, they were kind of juggling in that 7-8 seed now. But right now, they're sitting in the 5th seed, right? Yeah, they're sitting in the 5th seed. A team I don't know much about. It's basically Victor Oladipo's team. He's balling out. They got Miles Turner playing at center there. the one, the only Lance Stephenson. Glenn Robinson III is playing center, or shooting guard as well. It's a balanced team. I don't really know much about them. They kind of move in waves. If you look at their roster, it's pretty spread out. It's pretty even. Their highest earner is Oladipo at $21 million, which for a team in this day and age is actually pretty good.
It's pretty
in this day's NBA, so don't have much to say. Now, okay, these top four teams, I got some stuff to talk about. So let's go ahead and start with the Washington Wizards at the 4 seed. The Washington Wizards are led by John Wall out of Kentucky, but John Wall had another knee injury, and he's out for, I think, another 4 to 6 weeks. So this Wizards team has to go into the playoff stretch, without their leader. But the theory is that John Wall was kind of taking up all the looks.
from everyone else, where he kind of took over the game and kind of wanted to ISO himself out. So now that he's out, they're passing the basketball and everyone's getting theirs. So their motto they tweeted out was "Everybody eats," right? Mm-hmm. Everybody eats. So there's been some trouble in the locker room because they tweeted that out, and John Wall was like, "LOL, haha, that's very funny." And then him and Marcin Gortat kind of went at it a little bit on Twitter, and then in person they've been having a lot of like player talks. They had a team meeting where it was like, let's try to figure out what's wrong with the team, and they said like that was the biggest waste of an hour I've ever had in my life. So like things aren't going too well for them, but they got great players. Bradley Beal, they're led right now by Bradley Beal, all-star Bradley Beal, out of the University of Florida, go Gators. You got Markieff Morris. Otto Porter Jr. signed a big time contract. Kelly Oubre is playing good basketball. Devin Robinson is on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if he's not really getting many minutes, but Devin Robinson's on the team. Go Gators. And Marcin Gortat. And Tim Frazier as well is playing some good basketball. So it's nice. It's nice to see, you know?
They're a good team.
I think the biggest thing here is to watch out for is when John Wall gets healthy, A, can he stay healthy? And B, if he can't stay healthy, how is that team chemistry going to work? Because this may be a team that has the talent to reach the conference finals, but may implode themselves in the first or the second round simply because they can't get their stuff together between them, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. It's a cool little experiment in the looking glass.
To see.
Exactly. Now, Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron's team, they're coming in at third in the East. This team was bad before the All-Star break. They made a bunch of trades before the trade deadline last week, and they ended up getting younger, and simultaneously, they ended up making it easier for LeBron to stay in Cleveland and making it harder for LeBron to stay in Cleveland in the same trade. Now, let me explain about the team first. First, you're led by, obviously, the best player in the world, LeBron James. You got LeBron James, you got Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, who has a broken hand right now, will be out another 4 to 6 weeks. Who else is on here from before the trades I want to talk about? That's pretty much all you got. Oh, J.R. Smith as well. Sidi Osman is a Turkish player who's looking really nice right now. So they went ahead. They made a trade, right? So after the trade, they picked up Jordan Clarkson. They picked up Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. from the Lakers. They picked up George Hill from the – where was George Hill?
Was the trade with the Jazz?
The Jazz trade was the Rodney Hood trade.
Wasn't George Hill in that trade?
No, but they were all a part of a trade. It was like a three-team trade.
I thought it was a two-team trade.
No, there was a three-team trade. I know that much for sure.
I don't know.
Anyway, they acquired him in that trade. And now they're looking nice. They beat up on the Celtics last Sunday. A week from yesterday.
They look like they're having fun.
Yeah, and they look young. And when LeBron gets that smile on his face, when LeBron gets that, yeah, let's play some basketball, it's a little scary, my man. Mm-hmm. So look out for them to go ahead and turn on the Jets later on in the season. You got it'd also be interesting to see if they can keep up that chemistry and that energy throughout the rest of the regular season. You know,
because they're hot right now. But yeah,
but it's like a new team. Like, oh my god, it's like young love. You know, it's like, oh my god, great. But like, can you withstand the perils of life and make it through? You know,
well, that was deep.
I'm a deep person. You know, everything I do, I take it seriously. You know, everything I do. Next, you got second in the East. You got the Boston Celtics, which, as we said, the second best head coach in the league. Brad Stevens. Look, hey, I'm gonna shoot it straight right now. Kyrie Irving is putting this entire team on his back, on his triceps, on his neck, on his head, on everything. This man is carrying this team. They're playing great basketball. Uncle Drew, that movie looks good, by the way. They're playing great basketball.
That movie will probably be terrible, but you bet your ass I'm gonna go see it.
Oh, of course I'm gonna go see it. Come on. Especially now with my movie pass. Come on. Kyrie Irving, to me, is my favorite player in the NBA. Just on entertainment standpoint, he's my favorite.
Favorite to watch?
Yeah. Yes, favorite to watch. Now, the crazy thing here is, what could have happened if Gordon Hayward didn't get hurt? You know? Yeah,
didn't destroy his ankle in the first 5 minutes of the season.
Exactly, which is crazy. But they got a good squad here.
What's great is that it's just like the some of the arguments I've made prior with like how the Clippers were still good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's amazing that the Celtics have made it to this point without such a great player.
Exactly, and to me, that's just going to show us how difficult they're going to be next season when Gordon Hayward is that stretch forward out on the floor. No, this is a great team. I'm really excited to watch them go ahead and I'm really excited to watch them play the rest of the season. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to them making the conference finals.
Last year, I didn't think I'll be honest. Last year, when the Boston Celtics had the one seed, I remember having a conversation with you about this.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't think that they could beat the Cavs.
Right.
But this year,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot closer, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a lot closer.
They have the dynamic ability of Kyrie Irving.
I agree.
And they're a really good team.
Yes. But right now, number one in the East, we got the Toronto Raptors, led by Dwayne Casey, who is another, I think he's in that fourth spot of best coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He's outstanding. He's constantly doing it with talent that people don't think is as good. I'm really enjoying this team. This team's playing great defense, man. This team is a great defensive team. DeMar is doing his thing. Kyle Lowry, of course, is doing his thing. CJ Miles is playing good, too.
This is a quiet team.
Yeah, but, like, look at the roster. Look at the roster. Tell me how many names you know.
Give me a second.
Go ahead. Look at the roster.
Here they're at 1, 2, 3.
Three, right?
Three.
Three. Yeah, and that's DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, that's exactly the three.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know the rest of these people.
Ironically, and those are their three highest paid players. It's a good team. It's a good team, but to me, more than anything, it's a well-coached team.
Yes.
Now, but along with that, I feel like Toronto is a team that any team in the E... I don't want to say any team. Any playoff team can beat the Raptors.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's the thing. The Raptors, despite being the one seed, they don't scare me.
Like, if the season ended today and the Heat were in the 8th seed and playing the Raptors, I'm not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid. We're going to go at them. We're going to give them a good competitive game. We're going to play some good basketball. We're for sure winning two games of the series, and I think we can win the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah, it's not like playing the Cavs.
Well, if I'm playing the Celtics, I'm afraid of them. The Cavs, I don't know yet, because the Cavs are still gelling in this new team. If it was the old Cavs, oh, I'm here for this. Play us, please.
Yes.
I want to beat you. But now that it's the new Cavs,
mm-hmm.
I got to give it some time. The Celtics, I'm afraid of. Every other team is really kind of competitive. Like, in a way where the conferences are set up in a way where the Western Conference is very top-heavy in terms of they got better teams, but any team can beat any team. But same thing here on the East. On the East, you have weaker teams, but any team can beat any team. I think with the exception of
it's
the Celtics.
It's still all relatively even in both conferences. It's just that the quality of the average team in the West is greater than the quality of the average team in the East.
Exactly.
So if these were teams were to play each other East and West, it would be much different.
Right.
But
now there's some talk about trying to reseed the playoffs to go 1 through 16 best teams available. And if the season ended at the All-Star break, it would be 10 teams from the West, 6 teams from the East. Which makes sense.
That'd be a really good app. That'd be pretty apropos.
That's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. Yeah, of what the league
for NBA is.
Yeah.
What it is in its current incarnation.
Now, before we go ahead and sign off and finish the episode, I'm going to ask you, who do you think is going to make it out of the West? I'll give you who's going to make it out of the East, and then we can see in a theoretical matchup who wins. Who do you think is making it out of the West? You did your homework this week.
It's going to be the Golden State Warriors.
Maybe, or over the Rockets?
It's going to be of the two. It's
right, so who do you think?
The conference championship, it's going to be the Warriors or the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's going to be this is going to be like a 6-7 game series.
Because
the Rockets are way better than they were last year.
Yes.
And the Warriors, I don't think, have improved. They just haven't gotten any worse.
Right.
So I feel like the Rockets are closer. So it's going to be...
So if you had to pick come out of the West, it would be?
This is going to be really boring, but I'm going to pick
Warriors?
The Golden State Warriors.
That's okay. I would have picked the same thing.
I trust them so much to turn it on in the playoffs.
I get you. I'm here with that. And out of the East, I'm going to pick the Celtics. I think the Celtics can turn it around. I think Kyrie is going to go to another level in the playoffs. And in a Celtics-Warriors series, it's the Warriors, right?
Yeah.
I think the Celtics are a little too early.
As intriguing as that would be.
Here's the thing. If the Celtics had Gordon Hayward...
Oh, it would be different.
It'd be a different story. Well, and if they were playing well, we'd have to see how it goes.
See, I'm at this point right now where I kind of disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
In the sense of... like, no, unlike last year, this year, I totally buy the Celtics making out of the East.
Okay.
I still think that we talk about the team a lot, but I still think the Cavs, especially since even though their new roster is hot, I think it is still a better roster than what they had.
Okay.
Despite that. Mm-hmm. So even if they cool it down a little bit, I still think they'll be better.
Okay.
It's hard to not trust LeBron.
Yeah.
It's really hard to not trust LeBron. Mm-hmm.
Especially with his new toys.
Yes, yes. I can totally see the Celtics
winning.
Winning. Like, that's an extremely believable situation for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. That being said, I do think the Celtics would have a better chance of beating the Warriors. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
If the Celtics made it to the title game, mm-hmm. the title series, the NBA Finals, who would you think they'd rather want to play? Golden State Warriors or the Rockets?
The Rockets.
And why?
Because the Golden State Warriors have the second best player in the world in Kevin Durant. They have arguably the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry. They have a defensive juggernaut in Draymond Green. They have a coach who can handle all of them. They have Klay Thompson, one of the quietest top five guards in the league. And they've been there before. And they have the stage. And they know that they can do it. The Rockets, I think, James Harden hasn't proven himself in the playoffs yet. He's kind of choked every single time that he's made the playoffs. And Chris Paul's never made it out of the second round. Ever.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that has more to do with the Clippers than it does with Chris Paul.
I think so as well, but...
No, I see what you're
saying.
I think
this is the year it happens where he makes it out of the second round, but I'm just saying, I think it's that way. And the Celtics haven't been there in a while. This team hasn't been there. Celtics themselves have, but this team hasn't been there with the exception of Kyrie. Kyrie can kind of do it. And I think Kyrie can guard Steph. Kyrie can do this and that, whatever.
Kyrie's but I would the still one take point guard that I truly trust to handle Steph.
Offensively and defensively?
Well, to go toe-to-toe with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ways. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, Kyrie's
there are other point guards can lock down Steph and other point guards can shoot a lot. I just think Kyrie's the one. He's the other most dynamic point guard in the league.
Yeah, I think when Kyrie has the ball, it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
He makes magic happen when he has the ball.
So. Well, interesting stat, just to throw out there. Last thing I'll probably say is that,
okay.
Just to point your argument, 2018 the Houston Rockets are currently number one in offensive efficiency in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
So that's just something to consider, that they're historically
good on offense. You know what I'll consider? If James Harden shows up to a playoff game.
True.
When James Harden shows up in a playoff game, I'll consider.
That is the one thing that I do caution everybody when they try to put stats into... Stats always need context. When they try to put stats like that into games, is that you do have to look at the human element.
Yep.
And the human element is James Harden's never proven anything in the playoffs, really.
He's had, like, two big games... And they've been like game two, but when it counts, he shrivels.
And Chris Paul has and
we, never made we, it out of the second round. So
we don't know if this is a Clippers thing. I think it is a thing about the Clippers, yeah, not about Chris Paul.
Exactly.
But he's never made it out of the second round. Exactly. And the Golden State Warriors have won two of the last three NBA Finals.
Yeah, and they made it to three straight. And have the second best player in the world in Kevin Garnett and Kevin Durant. Have arguably the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry, have a defensive juggernaut in Draymond Green, have a quiet top five guard in the league in Klay Thompson, and have a coach who can handle them all. And if they need help off the bench, they have Swaggy P, they have, what's his name, their rookie, they have a rookie guard that's really good.
I don't know about off the
top. They have, Shaqtin' a Fool, what's his name? He's a guard, he's a center. Now I gotta look it up before we...
I don't know.
It's getting me. What's his name? Zaza Pachulia. They have JaVale McGee.
Oh my gosh, Zaza Pachulia.
They have Andre Iguodala. Like, oh, come on, this team is stacked.
Friend Courtney, friend of the pod, Courtney Mims, is a very big fan of Andre Iguodala.
Very big fan of Andre. All right, my man. With that being said, I think it is time to call this episode over.
All right, cool. Over. We got to call the episode over now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think we do. Yeah,
we got to call it. We may not, but we got to heavily consider
it. We'll consider it. Again, thank you so much. From what we said in the beginning, don't forget that's marchforourlives.com. Donate March if you can. Buy merchandise that supports them. All that stuff. Thank you for hearing us out. Next week we'll be back with I don't know what. I know it won't be Fergie's national anthem. I know that much for sure. but yeah, man. We'll be back with something else next week for you guys. And with that being said, my name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we're not biased, but go Gators.
Go Gators.